Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come.
The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Faith and Family. I'm Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard. Welcome to Faith and Family today, and we have a wonderful guest. His name is John Lambert. He's an electrical engineer, and he is the owner of Alpha Protection. Today's topic is going to be internet safety. Welcome, John.
Thank you, cuz, for having me. Glad to be
here. Yes, glad to have you here. And you heard that right, cuz. He's my cousin, and I'm so glad to be his cousin and to have him here with me. You know, before we start on the topic, I want to ask you, what is Alpha Protection?
Sure. Alpha Protection is an electronic security company. We originally started in the area of burglar alarms, camera system, things of that nature. And we have evolved into a company that can help people with computer problems. Setting up computers, selling you computers, cleaning up viruses, and then some training things that we're looking at getting into on down the road here.
Wonderful. So you're very comprehensive and you've kind of diversified, I think. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Now, your burglary systems, are they for residents or for corporations and businesses or both?
We actually do them for both, for all types. You know, the burglar alarms, which we started off doing, will cover all types of residential situations. But we absolutely do businesses also, of all sorts of businesses.
Wonderful. Where are you located, John?
We are now in our latest location, which is on Hudson Avenue, which is 1041 East Hudson.
And how do they contact you if they want to talk to you?
You can reach us on phone by 614-236-3310 or by email alphaprotection@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. Say that again.
That'll be alphaprotection@yahoo.com or the phone number 614-236-3310.
That's wonderful. Well, you know how to get in touch with John Lambert, the owner of Alpha Protection. Now, today we're talking about internet safety.
Okay.
And there's so much to be talked about on this subject because so many people have been harmed by the lack of safety or invasion. We hear bank records being destroyed or disseminated all the time, personal information and that sort of thing. And how do you define internet safety?
Okay, internet safety, that is the most important question. The internet can be a very safe place, but it can also be a very dangerous place. And it really has to do with how you use the internet. And so let me see if I can make that as simple as possible. So say you're just going on the internet to pay bills at a bank. If the only thing you do is when you open up your computer is that you go to that site and you just pay that bill at the bank and you don't do anything else, you will probably never have a problem. But the problem with the internet is that we all like to go where we like to go. And so if you begin to go to sites, like say you go to your email and somebody sends you a very popular email that you need to open this up, you need to see it, well, therein lies the risk. As you begin to open up email or what we call third-party sites, or go to places where you don't know who put the information up, you now begin to get into places where you can get your computer infected and can get into trouble.
Is it a good rule of thumb if you don't recognize the sender, don't open up the email? What do you say about that?
That is a very good rule of thumb. And really this whole internet thing, you need to take all your social skills that you normally use your normal etiquettes and the things that you expect from people.
Yes.
And apply those. So, for example, if someone on the internet claims that they're going to offer you something and they say it's for free, then free should mean I don't give you anything, not even an email.
Okay.
The moment someone asks you for an email, they've already broken this relationship.
You know,
the etiquette would be if someone's lying to you, as the famous poet says, when someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them.
Right.
So if somebody on the internet says a thing is free, then they should not ask you for email or anything extra. You should just get that thing. But the moment someone asks you for email or a little bit of extra, you need to be aware.
Because of what?
Because what people are trying to do there, they're beginning to try to gather small bits and pieces of information about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key with how this internet thing works. Anyone that's trying to do you harm is going to try to get small bits and pieces of information about you. Those people that are often truly free things, it'll just be free.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, when it gets people in a lot of trouble, and myself also, when we first were dealing with computers, with the Weather Channel, of all things.
Huh.
You know, we're thinking one day you get your computer, you're having a great time, and then you see a mention that there's an app or a location where you can know what the weather is.
Mm-hmm.
How innocent that sounds. But what happens is there are definitely some weather sites where you can go and all you'll get is the weather. But there are also other sites where not only you get the weather, but you get other little things that you do not want.
That you don't.
So while you're paying attention to the weather, these other sites could be maliciously in the background doing things on your computer. So what you have to begin to see is that what people do is they try to guess or figure out what you're interested in,
mm-hmm.
and they try to attack you through those type of desires or needs.
Yes, yes. I know I've ordered only one time, and then I do it over the phone. But I ordered something for my grandbaby
mm-hmm.
from a toy company. That was fine. But then after that, I started getting all these advertisements from other toy companies,
yes.
and I didn't know who they were. I didn't know if they were reputable. I certainly wouldn't order anything online from them
mm-hmm.
and give them my banking information. So that's the kind of thing you're talking about, huh?
Right. What folks on the internet will do is very quickly try to take you over or confidence. There's a couple of ways people will call your name. Now, myself, I'll just share how I deal with it, and you adopt those things that you want. But if you call my name, say you call me on the phone and you call my name John, like you know me in the beginning, I think that's disrespectful.
I do too.
So right
yes.
off the bat, my antenna goes up, and I'm suggesting to your listeners that the moment someone begins to break the social norms,
yes.
your antenna needs to go up right
cross
now.
Boundaries.
Because
yes.
decent and proper business people are going to ask you, hey, Mr. or Mrs., and
yes.
then they will also ask, hey, am I catching you at a bad time?
Yes.
Are you busy? The folks on the internet that are taking you over, they're going to start talking immediately. If it's a robot or a computer, you're not even going to know for a moment that it's not a human being, because it's pre-programmed to basically kind of run over you.
Yes.
And it knows how you're going to answer the question. The moment you say yes or no, it takes you right up this script. And so for your listeners, what you have to realize is that the moment someone violates those type of norms, then you shouldn't feel bad. A lot of my customers will feel bad about being equally as rude to the people that are trying to get
sure,
you.
Sure, sure.
And unfortunately, that's what you'll have to do with some of these folks. They're so aggressive
mm-hmm.
that the moment they begin to invade your social space, you'll have to stop them. And I normally do it in a decent way. I'll explain
mm-hmm.
to them. I don't really talk to people that just talk over me, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're calling my name and you don't know me. And
mm-hmm.
so after you begin to have that discussion, then if it's a real human being on the other line, they will apologize and you can begin to get your feet back on the ground and hopefully not be taken over.
Yes, yes. Well, let me ask you this. I thought about, we all have virus protection
mm-hmm.
on our computers.
Yes.
Does that help in any way with avoiding some of these internet scams?
You're asking all the right questions, because the virus protection, you can look at all virus protection, that's all of it, like a seatbelt. So looking at a virus protection that will protect you from all accidents would be like believing that the seatbelt in your car will protect you from all accidents, and that's not the truth. You know, so what a virus protection will do will protect you from most accidents or general accidents, but if you take that car or that computer and you drive it into certain neighborhoods or certain places, there's going to be a price to pay.
Okay, and like the free lane.
Absolutely. So it's exactly like that in computers, maybe even worse. because there's definitely a group of people that are trying to to take advantage of you. So I would recommend to your listeners that the virus protection that I do use is I use a free one called Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes. You can buy that if you like, but if you use the free version, for most of us, it keeps us in pretty good shape.
How do you spell that?
Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes.
And you just Google that and go on the free?
Yeah, it's interesting when you just say that. When, even when you go to Google, you know, the whole thing about this computer thing is that you need to have an understanding on what you're clicking on. And so, for example, I tell you to go look up Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes, their site is out there. It does exist.
Okay.
But there are also people pretending to be Malwarebytes.
No.
And that's where your listeners will have to begin to understand. When you look at your computer screen and you Google something, there's normally two lines. That very first line that you look at is for us human beings to let us know that this is what I'm looking for. The next line, which is normally blue or green, that's the actual address where you are going. So your listeners need to know that you need to compare those two sites. So, for example, I just told you to get Malwarebytes, or even if I tell you to go to Microsoft, when you go there, the top should match the bottom. If the top says Microsoft and the bottom says Microsoft Ohio or Microsoft OSU, then someone's playing a game.
All right.
And that's the way computer games are played. The moment they get you on their website or on their site, they can begin to do small things to your computer.
So even major companies are hacked a wee bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Very easily done. The employees cause that a lot of times, and so we need to talk about that. The employees can cause your computer to be hacked very easily. You know.
Now, how do they do that?
By innocently using your computer even more aggressively than they would use their own. Typically, if you're going to mess up a computer, you would probably prefer to mess up somebody else's if you go to questionable sites. And so, unfortunately, some employees get on the work computer and they go to places that they just should not go.
Should not go.
Right.
And so it compromises the legitimate website or address of the company.
Yes. And let me see if I can share this to make this clear how the hackers think. Hackers are really good at certain operating systems, and the one they're really best at right now is Windows. That's the one that we all use. We all use Windows.
Yes, we do.
The one that they're not as good hacking in would be like Macintosh. They don't do so well hacking Macintosh computers. And then there's even some free software, and I wanted to share that with your listeners, called Ubuntu. Ubuntu,
U-B-U-N-T-U.
Right, and Ubuntu is a program that is not easy for the hackers to hack, but would allow your listeners to be able to go on the internet and go a lot of different places with less fear of having your computer broken. So what happens is, for example, you go to this site where you don't have any business being because your friends tell you it's a great site. If you go in Windows, the hackers, they know when you arrive and they can begin to hack your machine. If you show up at this site in a different operating systems like Ubuntu, the hackers may want to get after you, but they're just not able to do it because the tools that they have brought won't match the system that they're trying to attack. So that's how you can kind of get around not being hacked so bad.
Well, how do you get Ubuntu?
All right, Ubuntu is a free download. So for your listeners, you can go online and once again, be very careful. Make sure you're downloading Ubuntu.com. And then my company, because of your broadcasting, we decided we're going to give out copies to any of your customers that call us. You know, if you could stop by the shop and pick up a copy of Ubuntu from us, and we'll make that available to you, or we can even mail you a copy of Ubuntu. So for your listeners, we'll do that for you.
Wonderful. So listeners, you heard that. If you want a free copy of Ubuntu.com, which is very resistant to hackers, then you just contact John Lambert. Say your phone number again.
Sure, the phone number is 614-236-3310.
Or drop by the office.
Absolutely. Or drop us an email at alphaprotection@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And if you want to come by the office, that's fine too, at 1041 East Hudson Street. And we'd be happy to get you a copy of that And like I say, it is downloadable. If you don't want to make any of those trips, give us a call and we can talk you through how to download a copy of it.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. I'm sure my listeners will appreciate that also. That's wonderful. Well, we've been talking about hackers, and I was going to ask you about that. What is a hacker?
Great question. What is a hacker? Hackers come in a couple of different types, and really only two major types. Some hackers might be just a young person that has learned some of the basic codes of computer coding, where you can go in and do little cute things like wave or send you a little message. Those folks can cause you problems by making mistakes. So say they're just trying to do something innocent, something cute. They cause us problems by getting on our machine, and the program that they've designed may not have been designed very well. And so in a case like that, it can cause your machine harm. The second category are the folks that are really more aggressive, that are actually trying to compromise your information or your computer. Those folks are trying to take your machine over, get passwords, look into your checking accounts.
Wow.
So those are the more dangerous. For your users to stay away from that, I would certainly advise being very careful with the young people that are on your computer.
Okay.
Staying away from the word free. Free is the most dangerous word on the computer, because that's the worm or the hook.
Yes.
That the hackers use to pull you in. And then, of course, adult sites. Some of the sites are very obvious that you should almost recognize. If you go to these sites, you're probably going to be compromised. So I have customers that want to go to some of the adult sites. You're going to have problems. If you take your computer to sites where the laws don't really pertain, you know, it's kind of like the Wild Wild West.
Yes.
It's just wide open.
Anything
as compared to going to the library, where security is very tight, and as long as that's all you're doing is going in and out of the library, you'll never have a problem. You'll never see me to have your machine repaired.
You know, you mentioned something that made me think about this. I have learned to go on the internet to look up my bank balances.
Yes.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I'm out, I've done that. But then I read, don't go on those sites in restaurants and public places, because someone can get into your checking and savings account. How do they do that?
Okay, what they're saying to you there is, of course, normally when you're at your home or whatever, you're on your internet.
That's right.
That you control. But you can imagine if you go to a McDonald's or some public site, now you're on an internet connection that someone else controls. And whoever controls the internet site has some say-so or some control over data that goes in and out. So that's what you're trying to make you aware of. So something as personal as like paying a bill or things like that, I probably would not do that.
Okay, or transferring funds or anything like that.
I might reserve that for when you're at home,
when you're at home.
On your website that you control.
Yes.
This computer, the whole thing is almost like having an access like we go on the freeway. You know, when you go on the freeway, you go up to an entrance ramp and you go on.
Yes.
So if you look at our homes like that, we all have entrance ramps where we can get on the freeway. But you have to be careful, so where you get on from can make a difference, you know.
Because then they can see your passwords, can't they?
It's a possibility, yeah.
It's
on a site that a person controls that internet, that network that you're going. So if you came to my house or my office, of course, I can open up my computer and I can take a look at all the folks that are on my, I know who's on my computer.
I see everybody in restaurants, wherever they are, on there looking at their email.
Oh, yes.
Is that okay?
It's okay as long as what you're looking at there is not super critical.
Like, okay.
I say, lightweight looking at email, things like that, I don't think are a problem. But if you were going to do things where you're going to be like dealing with passwords and things of that nature, I only do that sparingly if I had to.
Only at home?
Yeah,
on your home?
Or your business, someplace where you control the network a little better.
Okay. Yeah. Now, talking about hackers, during the 2016 election, that seems 100 years ago, we've been through so much, I remember reading or hearing on another radio network about hackers in some small, faraway country who were hacking and putting out terrible information about one of the candidates.
Yes.
Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And so hackers are not always in America, are they?
No. The word hacker is an interesting word. You know, I'm old enough that when computers were first done, I was working at Bell Laboratories, and they were designing computers with these large decks of cards, you know, where you would have all these cards. And so some of my friends ended up being some of the very first programmers for software, which is what we're dealing with right now, what you call hackers. So really, one of my really good friends would be considered one of the earlier hackers. And today, he can barely turn his computer on because he just doesn't work with it that much. So a hacker is really just a person that understands the basic underneath workings of the computer.
Okay.
And they're able to manipulate things.
Software design, sort of.
Right.
Like,
so it sounds very exotic, but it's really not that.
Uh-huh.
It's just people taking advantage. So you could have hackers at all different levels.
Yes.
And that's why it's on the user just to be careful with how you use the computer.
To have a plan.
So you know, if you turn the computer on and it's one of them days where you're going to willy-nilly be going to all kind of crazy places, then if I was you, I'd probably be very careful with the data and the different things I would do.
That you would be sharing.
On that day, you know. But
well, what they were sharing at that time is that these young kids were doing this in these different countries, in little villages and whatever.
Yes.
And it sounds like now you don't have to have a PhD to do it. So now I understand better why these young kids could do it.
Goodness.
And they were making money. They were telling how much money they were making doing this.
There you go. And knowledge is the power. So knowledge is power. If you even think right now of the young people around you that know things about that computer or that phone that you don't know about.
Yes.
They have an advantage over you.
They do.
They can, as long as they're decent young people, then of course they can help you and teach you and bring you up to speed. But if they're more malicious, they can actually sell this information to you that you really already have access to. So a lot of that happens on the computer. People begin to try to read and understand you,
mm-hmm.
understand where your knowledge
mm-hmm.
is, where your level of understanding
mm-hmm.
is. So
mm-hmm.
to me, that's why it's important, and we're thinking about doing some lessons that people need to get basic knowledge of this computer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks you're talking to, you need to quickly let them know that you're aware. It's almost like
mm-hmm.
what we do. They talk about creatures out in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
if a dog or something, an animal sees you, it's important that you make eye contact and let that person, that thing, no, I see you. I am aware, you know, I'm awoke. I guess that's the word
woke.
We use these days.
That's what they're
days.
Doing. They're woke. That's what
yes.
they're saying.
So don't bring that in.
Now, what I had here, I want to know how you fix or solve internet safety issues when we have them, when we develop them, if we should accidentally get ourselves in trouble.
Oh, you're asking a great question. Now, that's the question on how I got into repairing computers. That's how it happened to me. My own computer got hacked. I'm using the computer one day and I go to it and it's barely working. So I go into this panic like everybody else goes, and I'm like, wow, I've got a virus. And in my mind, I'm thinking there's something running around on this machine that needs to be killed. So I contact a computer guy, I go to his shop, and he's to let me know what he wants to charge me to fix it. The first thing that knocked my socks off, he was talking maybe $1,100 or something. And I'm like, wow. But the sad part is, I'm thinking about paying it because I need my information, you know, out of this computer. So luckily, as luck would go, he finally got the price down to about $250 or $300. And as he began to work on it, I asked him, like, just like you asked him, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
well, what are you doing
mm-hmm.
to kill this virus?
Mm-hmm.
And what he said to me was shocking. He was like, well, I'm not really going to kill the virus. He said, what I'm going to do is save your data.
Oh, yes, that's important,
Yeah, so what he taught me, because he said, I'm going to save your documents, your pictures.
Good.
He said, I can't save programs. You know, most virus, we can't save programs. So with a virus, what we do, they call ourselves the virus killers, we really save what we can save.
Okay.
Put that stuff off to a safe place, and then we totally erase your machine. We totally erase
Clean
your computer,
it.
Totally from beginning to end, which is much deeper than just trying to delete or uninstall a program. You could go and try to uninstall a program and still the virus would still be on that computer.
Yes.
But what I do to it when I get through, if there's pictures and things that you care about, we need to put those up real careful before I do my thing, because they will be destroyed.
Is that right?
Yes.
And then you clean it. And this is one of the services that you offer.
Yes, we offer that service, you know, right now, and we will clean any machine, be it a Windows or a Macintosh. Save your data and put all that stuff back on there for you, you know, at a very reasonable fee.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, so you've mentioned a Microsoft, Macintosh. What about Dells? Do they exist anymore?
The Dells are actually the computers. We were talking about Microsoft. That's more of an operating system. But yeah, Dells. The computer industry is about the same. There's not a lot of new entries. You still have your basic Dells, your HPs. Those machines are about the same. The latest operating system right now is Windows 10. you know, and so a lot of this is very stable. To your young listeners, if you want to talk about a field that you should look at maybe getting into, this is a great field.
It is.
Because it's changing rapidly, but not so fast you can't keep up. You know, if you look at how long Windows 10 has been around right now, several years has been. Mm-hmm. So for me, Windows 10 is super basic because I understand 7 and XP, the ones prior to that, but they're not getting any more difficult. So if I could roll the clock back and I was a young person, I would definitely get involved with this. And I would certainly spend time on cybersecurity, the very questions you're asking.
Yes.
That's the area.
Yes. And you're really working in that already.
Yes.
Now, what you mentioned, classes. Mm-hmm. Now, people can bring, if they get in trouble, they can bring their computer to you. If it's been hacked or they have trouble, you can save their stuff, their information, most of it, and you clean it.
Yes.
What other services do you offer? You offer the safety protection devices, burglar?
Absolutely. On the computers, of course, along with the software cleanup, we can actually fix physical things. Occasionally we'll have people that have lost their keyboards or screens or cracked, things of that nature. So we do those things for them also. On the software side, we're looking into beginning to do some classes. We see a need, especially in our community, where everybody, young people and the seniors, need more lessons on computer use to encourage the use of the computers because they're not going anywhere, and to make us more comfortable and more productive with our use of the computers. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of us right now use computers for game playing. There's a lot of that going on, and there's nothing wrong with having a good time with the computer, you know, enjoying the games. But I really would like to stress there's some very powerful things you can do with a computer, you know, business-wise, making money, organization-wise, organizing your family, and so we need to maybe begin to teach more of that, you know, and help people.
Now, when you say organize your family, what do you mean?
There are lots of what we call apps these days and software programs that allow you to handle your budgetary things, exercise, health, chores. There's just so many neat tools on there that unless we begin talking about them, people don't know it. The first time I got my phone and I was thinking apps might not be that big a deal, but one of the very first apps I used was like a level. You know, there's a nice little app you can have on your phone that when you need to just make sure something is level, you know, not crooked.
Yeah.
It's already on your phone, and without that app, I would have to go back to my car, my toolbox, where I keep a level. You know, I'm old school, so I have those kind of tools. But we got to refocus our mind to recognize that we're tool using creatures. And now a lot of the tools that you need are at your fingertip. The world has changed a little bit. Information at your fingertips.
I love it.
We've got information, they say right now, that President Kennedy did not have with all his money and all that he had, the small amount of computer skill he had today, we're carrying in our pocket. And that's what we need. We don't understand.
Now, how do we get that word out? Because are the children in public school learning all of this? Or
what a powerful question.
Yeah.
When you say that, I wonder why. I've wondered that same thing, why they're not pushing more to let the young people know how powerful this tool is that's in their pocket. So I don't know. How to get out? I would have to say, especially since you're coming from a religious background, the churches will probably have to put it in there and shape it in a manner.
I think it would be helpful.
Yeah, it would be helpful to shape it as a tool so people can understand they need it to survive. I like that one scripture where Jesus used the fish and the bread to feed people before he spoke to them. I thought that was so interesting that he took care of their earthly needs
first. That's right.
And so I see that the church might need to do some of that also right now. With this computer stuff, these are to help you with your earthly needs as you travel.
Right.
And it's a great place for even if each Sunday a minister or somebody in the congregation mentioned some tool or some aspect of the computer world that people could latch
and
keep, like cyber safety.
Yes.
We're going to have to use the thing every day, so we should be reminding each other on how to stay safe.
Well, that is, it's interesting that we're talking about that, because that is kind of frustrating, isn't it?
Yes.
That we're not letting our young people know that a lot of jobs and the way they're done now are going to be archaic the future.
Oh my.
And they need new tools.
Wow.
And that is going to be linked to using the computer.
Directly.
Understanding the computer.
Directly.
Directly. And so even in this last strike, the UAW, they were saying that a lot of jobs were going to be wiped away because people need retraining on computers.
You know, there's an interesting controversy in the Linden area right now where my shop has moved to, and a flyer came across my desk, and the flyer was talking in essence of stopping the robots. And the community was concerned about the robot driving vehicles that are going to happen. And I would just want to share with our community that I don't think you want to get caught up on trying to stop the robots. Mm-hmm. I think you want to get your young people to begin to program the robots, mm-hmm. train the robots,
build
the robots.
Yes.
Because you're not going to be able to stop the robots.
Well, as you know, I have a young person who does user experience, and she's built robots. She's helped with, and you know, it's sad to think that robots will replace a human being, but that is the way it's going.
Right.
So we need to get on board and learn it, operate it, build it, know it.
That's it.
Because that is the future.
Right. It's the one constant. The one constant is change. And
yes.
So this is the change that's coming. And I can understand people, maybe a knee-jerk reaction. You know, you're thinking about their in the linear area, you're thinking about the jobs that'll be taken from the young people. But that's one level of job. Think about the job of repairing the computer. Drone flying. Right now there's a whole area of drones. We haven't even scratched the surface of what drones are going to be doing.
That's right.
My grandson and I, we spend time playing with drones. You know, he likes technology, so we'll get together sometime and we'll play with those things so he cannot be afraid of them, and I think that we need to do more of that, you know,
that's right.
Expose them to drones, rockets, technical things that they might not normally get a chance to come in, you know, contact with.
That's right. Well, that is so important, and I'm glad that you're on board, and I'm glad that my special person is on board, so we just invite everybody else to be on board with change, to be comfortable with change.
Correct.
And that's very important. You ask God to help you through the changes in your life and in your world.
Amen.
You know, I want to go back to the things that you do and offer and the classes that you offer, but I was thinking a little bit too. You're an electrical engineer,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering. Well, we're going to go to break, but when I come back, I'm going to ask you that question.
Okay.
This is TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Podcasts are available. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or your tablet. That's radio the way it should be. Stay right there. John Lambert will be right back on Talk Radio.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicken online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicken products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicken candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kicken online at www.ashkickin.com.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
I've got the water, energy bars, and camera. I think we're set for the hike.
Almost. We need to protect our skin. Don't forget your wide-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
All right. I've got the hat. I've got SPF 30. Will that work?
Yeah, anything 15 or higher is good. Just make sure it says broad spectrum.
Great. Got it. I am not getting burned again. Let's go.
Learn more at cdc.gov/cancer.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. This is Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew on Faith and Family. And we're here today with my cousin, John Lambert. Now, before we go on, I was asking you about how you became an engineer and all of that, but I want to go back to Ubuntu.com.
Okay.
And I want to remind our listeners that those who are listening to this program are eligible for a free copy of Ubuntu.com. And tell us again, John, how they can
get
it.
We can give you a copy of it by coming by our shop there at 1041 East Hudson Street. Ubuntu is a free program, so you can download it yourself. It's going to be Ubuntu 18.4. And so you can either download it yourself or come by the shop, and we'd be happy to give you a copy or call us. And maybe we can work out mailing you a copy at 614-236-3310.
Sounds wonderful, and thank you again for that kindness and generosity, and we are have gratitude for that. You know, we were talking at the break a little bit about artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Tell me what that is.
All right, that's a word that we hear a lot, artificial intelligence and algorithms. These are the words that you're hearing that allow computers and human beings for us to work together. So the artificial intelligence is going to be similar to where we have the thing that speaks to us. I can't call the name in there. Alexis.
Yes.
You know, what you end up with is this computer program that basically is guessing. It hears the words or sees the words, and then it tries to make a decision on where it thinks we're headed with it. That's what an explanation of kind of artificial intelligence is. So sometimes it's very well. It works so well, it feels like it's real. But sometimes it works so bad, you can tell that it is artificial.
Yes.
Because it's limited. And so,
yes.
So artificial intelligence is where things are going. When it's really working well, I've got a camera that we're testing right now that has an algorithm or artificial intelligence. And what this camera is able to do is it can look out in our parking lot, and as long as people just walk by at a normal pace and don't stop and dally, it ignores them, other than just taking a regular picture of them. But if they stop and stand for about 2 seconds or 3 seconds, the machine thinks that maybe that they're doing something. It puts a square box around them and tries to determine, are they a human or are they a car? Once it makes that determination, it follows them and it records them. And that's what artificial intelligence is. It's a group of commands put together to kind of make a decision on what to do, for what equipment to do. So it kind of approximates or guesses, but it gives us the feeling that it's intelligent because the camera's following you.
That's interesting. I love that explanation. Very easy to follow and understand. So basically, the people who put that particular item together try to gather all the information they can that's kind of universal
about
a person, a
woman,
a child, a man, a boy.
Right, how we walk, what we do.
That's right. The most common things
we do. Common things. That's you take that intelligence, you give that to a computer. The computer don't know all the subtleties that you and I know.
Yes.
But it knows just enough that the experience feels like this thing is, it knows.
Well, the thing about it, I can't remember what it was the last time, but I was on the phone, and I needed some information from a company I was calling, but they had decided what my most common needs would be, and when they listed them, they weren't what I wanted.
Okay.
So I kept trying to say, no, I want this,
right,
and they just kept repeating, I'm sorry, I don't understand
there you.
You and repeated. It was the pharmacy. That's what it was. It was the pharmacy.
Right. So very frustrating.
Very frustrating. So we know, and those people who are protesting robots, they know that humans are really irreplaceable.
Come on.
But we do know that up to a point, we can be replaced.
But therein lies the opportunity.
So
any young people paying attention, seeing where the thing is not getting it done,
that's
well,
right.
That's where you step in and you and make the improvements.
I'm going to write that program that is open to hearing a variety of unusual requests.
There you go.
And add that to the pharmacy program.
Right. That's how it's done.
That's right.
That's the artificial intelligence.
That's right. That's right. And that's a job.
That's a job.
Or many jobs for people. So that's why we need to see it as not a foe.
No.
But a friend.
And it's easy to get caught up in that, you know, because sometimes we are adverse to change.
Yes.
But when you think about it, the one constant, and really the only constant, is change.
Is change. That's true.
That's what things will change. So, it would be wild, you know, for people that really love horses to not like cars.
That's right. That would be kind of ridiculous,
And we're happy.
The horses
still have their places.
That's right.
There are times that we can get with them, but not every day.
So they can't be like me. I've had to change. I used to want to wear the same hairdo all the time. I want to wear the same lipstick all the time. And when they say, oh, we don't have that anymore. What? That's my go-to lipstick.
I
don't want to think about it. I got too many other things to think about. So I've had to change.
Yes.
I've had to change. I've had to embrace it.
I've had to embrace the change.
Well, this is a fun and an exciting conversation. But I know what you do. The listeners have heard all the wonderful things you do at Alpha Protection.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep their home safe.
Oh, yes.
You can help their computers to be rescued from any hacking or anything and keep it safe. You can teach classes and the tools and all of that. You can clean it and all of that. But how did you get into this field? What does it take to be an engineer that does this?
Let's see, when I think about the electronic part of mine, that was when I was a teenager, and I just was fortunate enough to run into good teachers, so I would tell all the young people and seniors, you know, always look for good teachers. Some people might have a desire to teach, but some people are just better at it.
Better believe it.
Makes a difference if
Absolutely.
You can identify really good teachers. So for me, I had an excellent electronics teacher, and probably not living in these days, but he sparked that interest in me and the other young people. And then for the computer side, I really self-taught myself that. And I'll say that to the young people. I was trying to save money. That's what made me slow down enough to take a look at it to see if I could fix my own computer problems.
Okay.
And so that's a good motivation. So if you're trying to save money or make money, I'd say look at it like that. And I would encourage you that you'll be surprised at how simple computers are. Computers are, and I want to make this clear, they're not super smart. We associate that with computers.
We sure do.
But what they really are they're very fast. They're very fast at finding things and guessing and presenting us the options so we can make the final decision. You know, like when you Google something, it almost comes off like the computer knows everything, but typically it guesses and it ranks them. It uses that artificial intelligence to guess maybe the top 5 or 10. But the final decision is typically made by a human. We normally look at it and go, okay, that's the one that we want.
Okay.
And so I would say that for any young people looking for a field that's interesting, you won't be bored.
Yes.
And people were very pleased when you solved their problems. And I think a lot of young people are looking for that. You're looking for a place where you can be useful in society. I would share with any of them listening today, teaching seniors how to use not only their computers, but even their cellular phone. If you just slow down and think about it, young people don't give a second thought on how well they know their phones. But you and I, because we can hesitate every now and then. There are certain things that I want to do on the phone. I have a younger technician with me.
Right.
I'll ask him, you know, because I don't deal with that as often as I do this computer thing. So,
now, were there courses at Columbus State that you took?
Not for the computer side of things. I really am very self-taught on the computers, and I think that that's a credit to how simple they really are.
Uh-huh.
I used Columbus State to get my electronic training.
Okay.
So my electronic degree is from Columbus State University. But the computer, I'm basically an A-plus certified kind of guy. But I got that from experimenting with them and playing with them. I will tell all your listeners, do not be afraid of breaking a computer. Almost impossible. You really can't break it. And I will share this with you. The way to look at a computer that really helped me is to look at it like it's a complicated menu. When you're on the software side, people that get overwhelmed, they look at it and they see all these things coming after them and you don't know what to relate them to.
Mm-hmm.
What you relate them to are menus. If you slow down and think about it, if you walked into a McDonald's or wherever, any restaurant,
mm-hmm.
you are not overwhelmed because you know where the menus are going to be. You already have an idea of what's on the menu and you know what you like and what you don't like. Totally the opposite of a computer. You walk up to a computer, you don't know where the menus are. You like a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad news for you, everything is there. So when I teach a class with seniors, what I first do is get them to recognize there's something that this is familiar with, and the familiarity is menus.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start looking at it like that, what will happen is you'll do like I do, because I'm not an expert in the sense that I know everything about a computer. No, I do not. But what I do know is that there's a menu there somewhere. Now, the engineer may not have wrote it real friendly. He might have three dots or three slash lines.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a motion where you move the mouse up into a corner and menus jump out at you. But the key is knowing that there's a menu. Just like when you walk into any building or any structure, you know there's a restroom in there.
So it's learning how to learn.
How to
That's
learn.
What we
and
said
how to negotiate.
Right? How to negotiate.
How to move around inside this area. You know.
Right. So your life was impacted by a mentor.
A mentor, a teacher always. A good mentor, a teacher
good
gives
mentor.
You the confidence comes from that. And even the recognition that you're even interested in.
Yes.
You need someone to at least let you take a look
and
at it.
And call your talents mm-hmm. out and
yeah.
your gifts.
Yes, yeah, so I was very fortunate. My electronics teacher, when I was in high school, I struggled. I took wood shop, metal shop, I took all the other shops. And they were all right. But the one I clicked with,
that you were called to do.
It was electronics. Yeah, when I saw that, I was super excited, and the teacher made it very clear, and that really helped.
Now, how has the electronic degree helped you?
Oh, it's really wide open. With an electronic degree, you can do a little bit of whatever. It's wide open. So it really allowed me to give this shot of being in business for myself.
Yes.
Because the skills are very exclusive, where you can go a lot of different directions. But as far as getting a job, anybody with an electronic degree or a computer degree, you're not going to be unemployed very long at all.
That's right. That's
because
right.
There's just so many places you can go and so many things you can do.
Right.
And that
also for you would help you with your burglary instruments, right?
The computer or
the electronics.
Oh, the electronics. Absolutely. I built my first the first burglar alarm. I built the first ones.
Is that right?
I designed the very first ones, and then I began to use others that were already designed.
Now, you have some patents?
I worked on patents. I don't have them, but I love invention.
Okay.
And once again, I would say that to young people, this computer world that they live in, and especially this social networking,
yes,
is very open to creating products or services to solve problems.
Yes.
So I would love to see the church begin to get our congregations to begin to open their minds and being closer to the original creator, the God we believe in, you know, because you can actually create and put together all kind of creative things if you use this technology correctly.
Yes.
And so that's one of the things that I try to share with the young people and the seniors that come around me, is to look at the tool as a tool that allow you to create and do things that you enjoy doing.
Okay. You know? Okay. What do you love about what you do?
I love the fact that it's not boring. I could be easily bored, you know, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing. So in this area, I am never bored.
Okay.
There's always an interesting something to learn,
all
a
right.
problem to solve. I'm a problem solver. And so if you don't want to be bored, I would say look at fields like this. And then there is a certain satisfaction on helping people. You know, when you
yes,
help somebody
you
and you solve a problem for someone,
yes.
everybody
yes.
appreciates being appreciated. So
that's right.
I would share that with the young people. If you're looking for an area where when people see you, they'll be pointing at you and go, oh, that's my computer guy or my technical guy.
Yes.
Young people need to find a field where you can be helpful and beneficial.
Yes, that's right.
I love what Kennedy always put out. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for
that
your country.
That is exactly right.
Might want to adopt some of that.
Exactly. We really get when we give to others
yes,
and build other people up.
Yes.
Well, before we go, I like to close with a poem. And before we do, and I come back to you and thank you so much for being here, I want to share a couple of poems. These are by B.F. Hoff from the book Thorns and Thrones. It's an old book, but it's so encouraging. It has so many much good stuff.
Okay.
Loving Creator, thank you for the everyday gifts of splendor I so often take for granted. Remind me to open my eyes and see your divine touch in all things around me. No matter where I am, Lord, make me daily aware of the breathtaking beauty, the glories of creation that so wondrously proclaim your awesome power, yet so wonderfully and tenderly reflect your love. Another, as I say, a sort of ode to creation called Landscapes. The landscape of a day is never barren. Upon each hour is painted at least one gift. The sunrise of a smile, the rainbow of a wish, the gentle, peaceful sunset of contentment. God gives us beauty for all our days in small and unexpected ways to bless the heart and lift the spirit skyward.
I love those. They're excellent.
Aren't those wonderful?
Yes.
They. I want to include a poem that is sort of an ode to creation, which
yes.
is God's first revelation.
Absolutely.
In nature. Every time I do a show, and so I thought I'd put it there. And it's Encouraging Words from Faith for Faithful Living, Thorns and Thrones, B.J. Hoff. I wanted to come back to you, Cousin John, and say how wonderful it is that to have you on.
Oh,
we've done this before, and
I
it's kind of nice to do it again.
Yep, I enjoy it all the time, Cousin.
Yes, yes. And it's so wonderful that you found your call at a young age, as so many young people often do, don't they?
That's exactly right. I, you know, great family, though, you and all the great family we have around us, so you find a lot of support.
Yes.
You know, when you're trying to find yourself. And so I wish that for other young people.
That's
also
right.
Find someone that will support you, not laugh at you.
That's
you
right.
know, encourage you to stretch out and try things that maybe you've not tried before. So I hope that for all young people.
That's right. And we who are older, it's strange to say we're used to being mentored, but now we're mentors.
We are the mentors.
And so we need to listen and talk to young people and call out the gifts that we see in them, that God's put in them.
Yes.
That's what people did for me,
yes.
for
me
you,
also.
For
mm-hmm.
my children, for
yes.
my husband, for our family.
Yes.
And that that puts us on a purposeful path.
Yes.
Because that's a really challenging thing in these strange and chaotic days, isn't it?
Tell the truth.
finding young people to find their purpose.
Yes, and you meet a lot of young people trying, you know.
Yes.
And so anytime you can help or encourage, I always do. And I know you do also.
I do, yes. And we all do. And that's what I thought was so nice, taking us back to robots and drones, mm-hmm. talking to young people and saying, don't see it as something to be afraid
right.
of. Don't see it as something that you're being replaced by.
Opportunity. That's how you gotta do it.
And that's how we need to think about everything that comes along, even the worst thing. What's the opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. What's the opportunity? And that's what and you've broken down artificial intelligence so even I can understand it. And I appreciate that. So we're very happy to have you here today and all the things that you're doing. Now, I did want to ask you, have you started your classes yet, or are you planning them?
Great question. We're working on it right now, and I will also remind your listeners, if you have something you want to learn, it's like using Skype or internet security, feel free to call the office and tell us one or two or three things you'd like to learn. That's at 614-236-3310. And if you'll give us ideas on classes you'd like for us to teach, we'll put that together for you.
Yes.
And there'll be menu-based classes, so we'll teach you how to use that program, whatever that might be.
Oh, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. So that people can just come to you with what they need.
Right.
And then you'll try to work with them and all. Well, it's just been so wonderful to have you on the show today. And your address, again, is 1041 East Hudson.
Correct.
614-236-3310.
That is correct.
And alphaprotection@yahoo.com. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
And don't forget, listeners, that you can get that free
Ubuntu.
And I appreciate it, and I want to let our listeners know that our next programs next month in November, you know that we honor our veterans then, and we will have programs that honor particular veterans. We'll have a team from the Wiley Chalmers Ambulatory Hospital Care Center, and they will be on to talk about the services at Wiley. We'll have representatives of the disabled veterans to come on and talk about what's out there for disabled veterans. And my co-host guest will be Judge Grady Pettigrew, my spouse. He's pulling that program together because he's a veteran, mm-hmm. Vietnam veteran. And so he is getting the guests for that. And we're looking forward to it. Every year, we like to focus on our veterans because it's so important. And they're very much in the news now with all the things we have going on in the news.
No question.
And the traumas as well as the recoveries and the survival of veterans. We're trying to lift them up. And you'd be surprised at how many veterans don't know of all the wonderful services out there.
Uh-huh.
So till next time, this is TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard.
The way it should be heard.